Thank you, Brother James. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Robert. I don't like to date things, but I was baptized almost 39 years ago, and Brother James was sitting in the front row. So that'll give you an idea how long we've known each other. And it's been a blessing to be on this service during this time and going forward. I trust the blessing will continue. But this evening I ask for your prayers for the few minutes that we speak this evening. You know, we had our voting yesterday here in California, the primary, I guess they call them elections, and there was one sign for one candidate that caught my eye, and it didn't catch my eye for a good reason. It caught my eye because it showed forth the how man thinks of himself to be so great, and that there are some that just think they're better than others. And he had four words on his sign on why he wanted to be elected, and he said he was educated, experienced, he had a vision, and he had passion. That was the only thing that he put forth. And I looked at that and I go, well, you're telling me you're smarter than me, and your vision and passion having to do with whatever education means you want to change things. I think there's some things that need to change, and I think we all do, but the type of change that man wants is to just make things more earthly. I'm looking at scripture sometimes. I read parts of scripture and I think I'm reading current events, especially in the Old Testament. Lord help us this evening. I want to look at a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king in Babylon when, and if you notice in Daniel, that the Lord's hand was in all of this that happened with Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And, you know, he started out by saying the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And that was because of Israel's disobedience that the Lord gave the king of Judah into Nebuchadnezzar's hand, and they became subject to him. I'd like to read two scriptures and then look at what had occurred in between. We sometimes mistake being content and being complacent. Being content in such things that are godly, godliness with contentment is great gain. To be content in the Lord is a great gain. But to get complacent in the Lord will cause us to lose track. And when we get complacent, we start to look everywhere but to the Lord. You look at so many of churches in California that have went by the wayside in the years that I've been among them. And usually what you'll see is there was a lack of contentment. And it led to, and there were times of plenty, which were followed by times of complacency, thinking that maybe things should have just been the way they were in the times of plenty and not having to do anything to keep that time of plenty going. If you look at a person's house, what if that person was content with that house and never did anything to keep it up? Eventually, it would start to decay. Being content in the Lord will never cause us to decay, but to be content in life situations will cause us to go into complacency. And when we get complacency, we lose track. We start looking away from God and towards the world. We know this because over in the book of 1 John, it tells us those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are of the world. In the 37th verse of the second chapter, this is what Daniel, as Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, he tells him, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Speaking of the dream that he had, and he saw this great thing, this image, and had this head of gold, and now Daniel tells him, and as Daniel told him about this dream, down in the 47th verse, it says, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Now, what Daniel had told him and guided him to, and he spoke and he testified, saying that Daniel's God was the great God, the God of gods, the Lord of kings. Now, shortly after this, what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He builds himself this image of gold. After that he saw in the dream, in that image, he made one. And he told all the people, he made a decree that everyone was going to worship this image that he had made, and it was an image of himself because he was told that that was who he was. And when this happened, we all know the story about the three Hebrew children, and I love this account because it does show that whatever fire we're in, the Lord is in the fire with us. But I think in the 14th verse of the third chapter, it says this: "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Now remember, he'd already witnessed and testified that Daniel's God was the God of all gods. And now he's mad at them because he's not worshiping his gods. They are going to worship the God of heaven. So we go through the fiery furnace. They get bound. They get thrown in. Nebuchadnezzar looks in, and what's he see? He sees four men loose and the fourth like the son of God. And then it says in the 28th verse, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." So you see here how Nebuchadnezzar, he seems to be a flavor of the month king. You know, he's told one thing, it puffs him up, he builds a statue to himself, tells everybody they have to worship it. The three Hebrew children and Daniel, who in the first chapter he had appointed because of the knowledge that God gave them, by the way. Again, it was God that gave them the knowledge, and it was also God, it says that, grab that real quick. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince and the eunuch. So God was involved in all of this all the way through. And now after Nebuchadnezzar has seen this vision in the furnace, he turns back from being angry that they would not serve his gods, and says that he sent his angel, he trusted in him. In the 29th verse, this is what he does: "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So here we get to this point, and notice that Nebuchadnezzar makes this decree. Now, this is a problem among so many of our lawmakers, or whatever you want to call them, that make these decrees, that they make decrees and they expect the subjects to follow them, but they don't think they need to follow them. And that's exactly what happens here. Nebuchadnezzar makes this decree, but look at, again, he turns around. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Nebuchadnezzar, looking to God, showing that God was blessing him in increase. He was flourishing. His kingdom was flourishing. He was doing well. Then he had another dream. He has another dream. And all his astrologers and all them that he called before couldn't interpret it, so he calls Daniel. Of course, Daniel interprets the dream. And he tells them the visions that he saw in the 10th verse, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. Here is his kingdom being blessed, and then there's a watcher. And brethren, we have a watcher. And we have somebody that watches over us. He is able to see our down settings, our uprisings. He's with us in our in six troubles. In the seventh, he says, no evil shall come upon us. But this watcher, he was a holy one that came down from heaven. And as we read in the New Testament, this holy one that came down from heaven, Jesus said, I came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches. Shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This manner is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. I think here that I get some encouragement, knowing that God is in command, that God is the Most High. He ruleth in his kingdom of men, and he giveth whomsoever he will, and set up the basis. He sets up men and as those for his people to have leaders over. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation of it. And as we go through here, and you'll notice that, again, this dream was about Nebuchadnezzar. It was about what was going to happen to him. And it was going to happen to him because of his behavior. And, you know, there's something about the announced judgment of God. The announced judgment of God can be averted if there's repentance. God has warned Israel all through those times that they were taken into captivity. Repent and I'll turn back. Repent and I'll turn back. Repent and I'll turn back. Well, they didn't repent and they were carried away. And now they're under the rule here of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was being blessed of God in this kingdom, and his kingdom was being blessed and it was increasing. But Nebuchadnezzar was getting to the point as he walked around his kingdom, seeing what was going on. And he says here, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven and the sight thereof and all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth into heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the king. And look what happens here. That they may drive thee from men. And it tells exactly what's going to happen to him. And in the 28th verse, it says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. So here is 12 months past since he had this dream. This dream was told unto him what was going to happen. And it says here, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? After having been told that God gave you this kingdom, was shown of God that this kingdom was given to him, witnessed the Son of God with those three Hebrew children, testified that their God was the great God, worshiped him by telling them here in this verse, as he wanted to show everybody how good the Lord was. He was walking about there and he was at rest in mine house. Isn't rest a good place to be? He had rest in his house and flourishing in his palace. Things were going well. And then he had a dream. And in this dream, it shows forth what will happen. And that is going to happen if certain things occur. And what occurs? Nebuchadnezzar takes all the glory. He takes credit for everything. Everything that God blessed him to have, everything God blessed him in his kingdom to do, he took credit for. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from me. And they shall drive thee from men, and the dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So now he's cast out. All these things happened to him. In the same hour these were fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And this went for 7 years. Now, it's interesting for me at this point, and we don't really have anything here in scripture, but part of the dream was that the root would stay, meaning that when these 7 years had passed, and that the intention of God was to return his kingdom back to him after these 7 years, that his kingdom was still there and it was at peace because the root stayed. But here we see at the end of days, at the end of this time, at the end of this, as the scripture calls it, the seven times that were passed over. In the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. You know, what had occurred here is a lot like what you read in the first chapter of the book of Romans, where when we turn over to the first chapter of the book of Romans quickly. Time is going away quickly. But in the first chapter of the book of Romans, it tells us, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse, and so on. But it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, and likewise the men. But it also gets down here in the 28th verse. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that is what Nebuchadnezzar, he would not retain God in his knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And God, and just a reprobate mind is a mind that is left to itself, if you will. It's a mind that's void of understanding. It's worthless. It doesn't have the thoughts it should. But here it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I hope we're of the right mind this morning, this evening, of a sound mind, and that we can turn and bless the Most High. And he says, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And this is just repeating again all those things that had been said before. And 35th verse. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. So there's a difference here, his understanding, but also now he was able to reason. Come, let us reason together, scripture tells us. Mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellence majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All his works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Brethren, I've heard many prayers and thoughts about the things that are occurring in our country, and the leadership that we have is taking us in a way that's taken us from God, and we're not looking at God in the right manner. We see here, I believe, that Nebuchadnezzar, he got complacent. He got complacent, and in his complacency, he did not have God in his thoughts, and God turned him over to that reprobate mind. And when that happened, God's judgment came upon him. But he still came back and was able to say in the end that God was still in charge. And brethren, tonight, I would like to just encourage each of us to remember, no matter how it appears and things happen the way they happen, our God is still in charge. And our God is still, and as written here in Daniel, that we're reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Let's look at Isaiah real quick, scripture in Isaiah, for a remembrance tonight, to remember that how God has called us. And fear not, in the 5th verse of the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Brethren, the Lord is in charge. He has made us that we would, he were created for his glory. It's not the other way around that Nebuchadnezzar, he got lost in this, that he became one who thought it was all about him. He built statues to himself, and he knew, was shown that that statue was not God-honoring. And then he went through a period where he wanted everybody to know how great God was. And then over a period of time, again, he lost sight. And brethren, let's not ever lose sight that it's God who's in charge, that we're here. And the ones called by his name, we're called for his glory and not our own. Please consider what I say this evening. And Lord, give the understanding and be encouraged. God is still in charge.